Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm. 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 That's pretty cool. My son wrote that. Anyways, we're broadcasting to you live on Facebook and YouTube. This is the second time we're doing this on YouTube, so this is pretty cool. Kelsey, tell everybody what people have to do.
All right. Follow us on all the social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok. Just go, search Norm Farrar and follow us.
Very good. Yes, please. All right. So today, we've got a very special guest. I've known this lady for a couple of years now. I bump into her at every event I go to. She is a event. She's like me. If there's an event, she's usually there. So anyways, Chelsea and I, her name is Chelsea Cohen, and Chelsea and I are going to be discussing inventory management and how to scale your business. And also we're going to focus the difference between inventory reacting and true inventory planning. So as always, try that again. This is live. As always, if you have any comments or questions, just post them in the comment section and we'll answer them as fast as we can. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So without any further ado, hello, Chelsea Cohen, and welcome to Lunch with Norm.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm good. Doing well. Hope you're doing well as well.
As well as can be expected.
Yeah.
So, Chelsea, tell everybody just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, I've been selling on Amazon since 2014. And like you mentioned, we connected up at an event we were both speaking at. I think is the first time that we connected in 2017 at the Amazing Summit, where I was speaking about copywriting, and I still do a lot of work in copywriting, in the copywriting space. So that's how, most people know me in terms of copywriting. But there was another thing that kept coming up in my business that was a problem. And about 2 years ago, I decided I need to solve the problem. And it had to do with inventory management, the amount of time it was taking, and also seeing how much my business was suffering from poor inventory planning, whether it was over ordering or under ordering, running out of stock. And so I had to figure out, how to solve the problem, looked at the various different solutions out there, and they turned out not to be solutions for me. And, the algorithms didn't make sense. They weren't customizable to individual SKUs. They worked for some products, but not for others, or were really, really expensive. And started talking to my mastermind groups and asking them if they had solutions, and they kept coming up with the same answers that I had, and that there was nothing that was really designed and worked well to be able to fully customize an inventory solution. And so I decided, that I had to figure out something for myself, and came to the conclusion that I had to just build a solution, build a tool, an inventory management software. And 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks after deciding that, I met Dan Fernandez.
Dan.
Who's my business partner. It's funny because I think you are the only person that connects the two of us, which is very interesting because we met at an event that Elena was a part of, and I had met Elena for the first time at the same event that I met Dan at. And then Dan mentioned that he, works with you off and on, which was interesting because, it seems to be the only hard direct connection is you. So that was cool.
No, it's great what networking and events do. You get to meet so many great people like yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting that you said the cost, because it is very tough. Prior to the app that you brought out, you were either stuck with your own spreadsheets or you were paying some big bucks for the product.
Yeah.
So, I'm absolutely we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But just having an affordable app that can really cut out all the noise and, you know, help you with your inventory management. So there's been a real swing in, especially with what's happening right now. But, you know, what's the mindset and what's going on with inventory planning right now that may not have happened a year ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, right now, one of the things that we're kind of seeing is that people are having to be more prepared. I mean, coronavirus, it kind of changed everything. And I think personally, and where we're moving our software personally, is that people are going to start splitting between FBA and FBM. I personally, with my next order, I'm figuring out a solution for that. But one of the things that's occurring is that Amazon, we've seen Amazon hold people's businesses hostage a little bit, you know, within this situation, people scrambling to figure out third-party warehousing and third-party fulfillment solutions. So there's kind of this split, and that's what we're talking about with our team right now, is how to be able to, you know, have a tool that accommodates both FBA and FBM, because you've got people who are waiting 3 weeks and, you know, for Amazon to just pick up an LTL shipment, you know, or 5 weeks with, you know, their inventory not being checked in. So if you have sent, you know, all of your inventory into Amazon, you order it, you send it all into Amazon, you're basically, you know, your inventory is held hostage, you know. So what we're doing with our next shipment is we're sending half of it and then sending another half to a fulfillment center so that we have a backup plan, because we're seeing as Amazon is not able to handle these things, it actually starts affecting our business if we basically, you know, have no distribution center or distribution plan for ourselves. So that becomes very, very important, as I think everybody should be looking into fulfillment and creating a backup distribution plan in the off chance that Amazon can't be your distribution center. They can only be your sales channel.
So I'm finding that in different parts of the U.S., there's no delays. Other parts of the U.S., like California, we've got stuck with this. We had 11 products from this one brand that we're working with that is stuck. And it's been 3 weeks, like you said, and we cannot get them into the system. Do you know, I'm going to throw you a curveball, but do you know a way around that? Because, you know, if you're a man, our brand, the brand we are representing is out of California. They have their own warehouse. Is there a way to get out of the California when Amazon assigns you the warehouses? Can you switch it up so it can be in Arizona or somewhere else?
From what I've seen from when we had a warehouse in Chicago, and a lot of, you know, back when we were doing some warehousing out there, a lot of our stuff was just sent straight to the Joliet warehouse.
Right.
So we're currently in California is where our warehouse is. I think it's more expensive too, you know, but that's a start to think about a shift in that plan. It has to do with the address you're sending from. So if you're sending from a California address, they're going to want to send the bulk of your inventory to California. But if you're in the middle of the country, and having a warehouse in the middle of the country does take some extra time, it takes additional trucking time from the port, and it takes, you know, the additional cost. But if it is the difference between you getting your stuff checked in or not, it starts to become a smart plan to have a warehouse in the middle of the country as opposed to on the coasts. Now, that's not a guarantee, but it gives you a better chance of having your stuff sent to the middle of the country as opposed to either of the coasts.
Yeah, that's something that I was talking to him about yesterday, is taking, he has his own warehouse, but to move the product over to like a warehouse, wherever outside of California, because it's a disaster. This is 11 products. And not one product has been received yet.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's interesting because I did a survey in our inventory management sellers group, and wanted to find out if it was just pallets, because in the past we had an inventory issue where we shipped in a bunch of pallets, and they literally got parked in a parking lot until the end of Christmas. after Christmas. You know, they lost the inventory, you know, and then they found it after Christmas. And that was just devastating to our holiday season several years back. But cartons got in just fine. So we, you know, I wanted to see, is it cartons or is it, you know, LTL shipments? And it seems to be across the boards, LTL yeah. and carton, but I think yeah. location does have something to do with it. So, you know, some people are saying just fine. I also checked categories. Categories didn't seem to be an issue either. You know, you had various different delays across categories too. So it's probably the location. So I think that the best bet, you know, if you're trying to test this out, the best, you know, theory to test, again, I haven't tried it. You know, this is just from past experience, you know, warehousing in the middle of the country might be able to get you kind of around that.
Great. Hey, Kels, I think there's a question. Can you throw that up there? All right. Hey, Andrea, how are you? Do you feel that 3PLs along the coast have longer check-in times now too?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing. Everyone tends to have their stuff put into the 3PLs, you know, and into the warehouse because they don't want to, you know, spend that extra time and money to truck. But it seems like it's probably, you know, it'll probably end up being cheaper to truck it into, you know, a Chicago warehouse. Although, you know, Chicago might be a little bit risky right now. But into, you know, some of the middle, you know, the middle of the country, warehouses in the middle of the country. Because, you know, that's kind of what we were getting. A lot of people were from California. I think there are a couple of people you know, on the East Coast as well.
Right. So just before we go any further, I just wanted to give a couple shout outs here. Hey, Victor, how are you? Hayden wrote the song, by the way, Victor. Mamoom, how's it going? And Andrea, thanks for tuning in. All right. So the second question I have is about the second product. Mm-hmm. When you have the second product, like, what are the processes? How do you launch a second product? When should you launch a second product? So let's start with looking at that second product. What's your advice on when we should do that?
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, like, if you've got your first successful product and it's doing well. If you've got a product and it's doing well, then you've probably figured out some things about how to sell well on Amazon. It's not until, you know, you kind of get to that point. I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, the first product being a dud or the competition is too harsh or whatever. But when you've got a successful product, you know, really start to look at, you know, what is it that we did right and identify those things that you did right so that you can repeat those things. But cash flow becomes a really important issue. So I think that it becomes important to figure out, you know, do you have the funds to continue to sustain the product that's actually is your business right now? You're essentially a one product business. Continue to sustain that while you get into, you know, this other new product. And that becomes, you know, the first juggling act is how to control the cash flow, how to sustain the cash flow. So I think that becomes, you know, a question of let's plan out and play out, you know, that scenario, make sure that the cash will be there. But, you know, I would say if you can do that, you know, do it as soon as possible. And just, it's kind of one of those rinse and repeat, you know, you found the proper method and, you know, you should be able to kind of translate into that into your next product.
And so the reason why I asked that question mm-hmm. is I get this question a lot. Mm-hmm. When should I stop doing it manually and focus on an app or mm-hmm. transfer over to the app? Uh-huh. So at what point should people do this?
Uh-huh. Like you're talking in terms of inventory?
Yeah, when it gets unruly. And, yeah. you know, most people in the past have always thought, oh, they have to be, you know, $100,000 a month seller mm-hmm. because it was so expensive to use some of the apps that were out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that comes down to a question of not necessarily just the SKUs, but if you're not, you're doing a million different things. As an entrepreneur, you're usually holding all the hats. So, you know, if you're overwhelmed with all the things that you're doing and you have to start to look at what are you spending your time in and what is the return on that, right? If you've, you know, got a software that's, you know, $100 and it's going to, you know, allow you free up time for you to focus on the things that you're really good at, which are, you know, maybe it's product sourcing, maybe it's, you know, marketing, those things that will really make you the money. If saving the time that you're taking to do the inventory planning will make you more money, then you should definitely put in a system, an inventory management system, you know. And also if not doing it properly, you know, if, and there are many places along the line that we can mess up an inventory, you know, you get the numbers wrong, you get the timing wrong, you forget to order, you're not following up on your suppliers and your freight forwarders, right? And that's the biggest one. That's the secret killer, because you look at, I've got 60 days, I've got a 60-day, you know, lead time. But then what about all those little days in between where you had to get your quotes, you had to get your everything connected, your, you know, the 30 days is up and the supplier says, hey, we got your inventory ready to ship. And then it takes a week to get, you know, connected with your freight forwarder. And then it's another 5 days before the ship actually sails. So that 60 days then turns into 75 days. So it's all of those little things that if those things are costing you sales, or causing you to have to do a lot of air freight, it makes a lot of sense to get into inventory management, whether you have, you know, 100 products or, you know, a handful or, you know, even just one. I mean, you know, generally when it's just one, it's, you have a little bit more, more time to do some of those things, but, you know, kind of putting those systems in place early on in your first few SKUs, helps to free up the amount of time that it takes and the bandwidth that it takes to remember those things.
So when we're talking about putting together production flow so you can manage these extra days, what should be the proper starting point for the flow and how can you manage it? Are there specific steps that somebody can take?
Yeah. One of the conversations that I'm trying to have or trying to bring to the forefront in the Amazon space has to do with scaling. We're all obsessed with scaling, but people don't really connect inventory management to that as much. Like you have tons of, you know, gurus and tons of, you know, masterminds and tons of people talking about marketing, but the entire focus of our industry is on marketing. And then we talk about scaling and systems and things like that, but no one has really tackled the connection between marketing and inventory, and the, how crucial it is. And, so you get, you know, these scenarios where, you know, you're running out of stock and you wonder why, and there's, you know, tons of, you know, I guess experiential data that backs up that a lot of that is because you didn't build your marketing plan into your inventory plan. So when you're setting up to create an inventory management system, the first step is marketing. And it's essentially, you know, whatever system you're using, if you're just using past sales to figure out your future orders, you're kind of missing the boat, because, you know, I have a friend of mine who we were talking about inventory, and he said, you know what? I realized recently that I've been placing the same exact order and the same exact schedule for years. And that's just a sure sign of flatlining your business. So unless you're, you know, you take a marketing plan, you build out a marketing plan, say for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, and you actually build that into your inventory plan, you're always going to, you know, fall short of your goals. Unless you build out your marketing plan, you know, say the next 3 to 6 months worth of marketing as your initial step to building out an inventory plan.
So I'm kind of curious, and I should have said this at the beginning, but your app is called So Stocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very simple to use. And what I love about it is that somebody from your team gets on the phone and helps you with that. And mm-hmm. it could be pretty intimidating for somebody new. Yeah. In the business to kind of go through it. And by having somebody hold your hand, walk you through it, not only do they all of a sudden, you know, get the real numbers and the real timing, mm-hmm. but they get to they get to have somebody that they can talk to.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Like if you go to I'm just going to say any of these other apps, you try to figure it out, but you don't put in those little nuances that you need to have to get mm-hmm. an accurate, you know, the accurate costs.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I just wanted to, you know, let you know that I love the app and the personalization that I don't think you get anywhere else unless you, you know, pay $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that part of it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, thank you.
Oh, Kelsey, what's this question?
All right. It says, thoughts on launching a second product, even when you don't fully have your first product up and running smoothly? That way you're trying a few products. So I guess opinion question.
I guess for me, you'd have to determine why the other product isn't doing well, because you don't want to just jump into, you know, creating the same mistakes with a second product. So, you know, if you can determine what you're not doing properly, then and determine that it's something having to do with the market and not with your marketing, then I think that, you know, that is a fine way to go about it. But if you're just, you know, one of the primary things that I see with first time sellers is that they price too high for their value in the market. They've got no reviews or very little reviews, and someone's got a bunch of reviews and they're pricing at the same price point. Usually lowering that price will tend to cause, you know, you to get a little bit more traction on a new product. And then, you know, you can't get reviews if you don't have sales. So, you know, just kind of things like that. You have to know, you have to be able to assess why you're having trouble so you don't make the same mistakes over and over again and spend a bunch of money on products that then don't ever fly.
So Leonard, I can tell you from experience that doing one at a time, and especially if it's your first product, you're going to pay your Amazon tax. It's not only going to be in inventory. It's going to be in all sorts of other areas. It could be your images that are terrible. It could be something in your PPC. You could kill yourself. And by doing it two or three or four times with new products, all you're doing is repeating the same errors that are going to cause you to possibly fail. And
yep.
It's just tax. It's your Amazon tax. And then once you learn it and you went, oh man, I did this, or I did this, I got suspended because of this. That's why I like only doing one. Even now, I've been selling on Amazon for a few years. If somebody says that they want to sell, like I did, what I was just saying at the beginning, there's 11 products. It was 11 launches all at one time for this one product. Now, I know, you know, I paid the tax many, many, many dollars over, and it was a nightmare to do 11, even to do, you know, three or four. I still like to do one, see how it is, and then bring out two or three for a brand. That's my recommendation, you know, just one at a time, especially if it's a new brand, and mm-hmm. then you can rinse and repeat, or do something completely different with the second run.
Mm-hmm.
That'll increase your chances not only to have optimized sales, but like Chelsea just said, to optimize your price.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And then there's a question there. I think he meant the first product wasn't selling yet, just wanted to launch a couple at the same time. Yeah. That's a similar thing. You know, I think you could be, you know, repeating the same mistakes on the same products, and also it pulls your attention. It distracts you from, you know, focusing on one thing and getting that one thing right. It also drains your resources. Another thing that new sellers tend to be, I've seen to be a problem in launching a product, is being too stingy, you know, either too stingy with, you know, lowering the price, or I mean, we used to do, you know, a lot of giveaways. Sometimes that's still done. And then also, just not spending enough on the ads, right? Wanting to be profitable from the beginning, you know, is an issue. So if you've got two products then that you're trying to do that with, you'll be even more stingy rather than, you know, going, you know, heavily investing on, you know, your sponsored ads to get that visibility, even if your profit isn't there. So yes, that tends to be more of a mindset, you know, more an issue if you have that mindset already, that if you've got it spread across two products, you know, your resources are then depleted across, you know, two different things.
You hit a point. I wasn't even thinking about this, but stingy, what a great word. What do you think about people that are bringing in 50, 100 units at a time.
Unless they have a, you know, 1 week turnaround, you know, maybe they source from somewhere, you know, locally. If you have a 1 week turnaround, that could be okay. But if you have a 60 day lead time, you're going to run out of stock. If you're successful, you're basically betting on not being successful. If you are doing, you know, 50 to 100, you know, units, anything that starts to go in any sort of volume, you're going to have to, you know, then, basically stock out, and, you know, it'll be this constant, stock out cycle. So that's, you know, tends to get you into trouble. We always started with a thousand. I think the lowest you could go would be 500. But now, especially with the lead times, lengthening, I think that 1,000 is probably the best way, you know, and that's, you know, that's why, you have to have some money to be able to invest, you know, into a private label business.
Right. Yeah. We've seen that. This is actually going to lead us to the next question. So this is going to be the weirdest fourth quarter on record. We've got Prime Day in October.
Yeah.
We've got Black Friday, and then, you know, the holiday seasons take off. Mm-hmm. So we have to deal this year with the IPI restrictions. How does somebody plan their inventory this fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll have to be more, you know, in advance than even before. You know, like, we're personally looking at our inventory to the end of the year. But in terms of the planning, that it brings up a really good point, in that you actually do have to plan your marketing plan to the end of the year. You know, the Prime Day happening in October, and then your sales for Christmas. The other thing to consider, though, there's a couple of different factors to maybe consider being a little bit more more prepared and having additional inventory than you had even, you know, last year is a couple of different factors. One, we are still in, you know, at least some areas still in quarantine, or in reduced travel, reduced, you know, stay at home orders. We don't know where we're going to be at by the end of the year. So, you know, and people, the fear is still very real for a lot of people. We've seen a lot of sales come online. So, can consider that potentially sales for the holiday season will be increasing, as well as the fact that your competitors may not be prepared. And this is something that Alpha Lobby talks about on the webinars that we do, is that you've got competitors that may not be prepared. And if they stock out, you want to be ready to take their sales. So, you know, you have to, you know, and that's where we get into talking about building out your 6 month plan. So figure out your marketing plan. Like now is the time to really sit down and look at your past sales, and then look at, you know, what did you do during Prime Day? Okay, let's plug that into October now instead. And then let's look at Christmas. You know, and we have a feature in our software where you look at your Christmas sales, but then you can increase it and say, okay, within this time period, we're going to increase that by 30%, say. And, you know, if you've got specific, you know, sales that you want to do, if you've got influencers that you're working with, just really sit down and plan out what you want your Christmas and your holiday season to look like, and then build it into your inventory planning, you know. And we have on our software, we have a timeline, and that's something that even if you don't have a software, you can build out a timeline in an Excel spreadsheet for each product. And essentially it shows, you know, what's your starting balance of your inventory, right? And carry that all the way down, plug in what your sales velocity is, and then start plugging in, you know, okay, you know, let's say middle of October, this is what we intend to sell during Prime Day. And this is the sales increase that we're going to have during the holiday season. And so you basically build a timeline where you can see what's going to happen with your inventory. You can see when you're going to stock out, and you can see how much you have to make up, you know, when you have to order, when, you know, how much you have to order. And we always recommend a buffer stock, also a safety stock. So your orders should be being placed before you run out of stock, whether that's, you know, 10 days before you run out of stock, or it's 30 days before you run out of stock, whatever you're comfortable with. But you should never plan to get your inventory in stock, you know, the day before you run out. So, you know, building out a timeline, and I think that's the biggest kind of aha that came for us in building out, you know, So Stocked was the timeline and all of the additional kind of tweaks and tools that you can, you know, utilize help to allow you to visualize. You take your marketing plan and you plug it into your inventory plan, and it shows you whether or not you're going to run out. We advise it to talk to ad managers who, you know, their clients pay them to manage ads. And I've talked to ad managers that aren't extremely smart when it comes to inventory, you know, and they'll say, yeah, they have plenty of times stocked their client out because they turn on the ads without vetting out the inventory and it stocks them out. Well, that's actually very foolish thing to do, because that's inventory that you could have sold full price without paying ad spend on it. And you're now, you know, stocking out. So if you're working on your advertising or you're working with an ad agency, you should always vet out the advertising plan before you put it into action. And so that's what I would say, you know, in terms of planning for the end of the year, or planning for anything in general, just planning for, you know, your inventory, is to have or build out an inventory timeline that includes things like, you know, increasing your sales and, you know, adding, you know, lightning deals and things like that, and just have something to test out whether your inventory can afford your marketing.
I have, and I agree 100% with what you were saying, and great advice. But one of the things that we've done differently with our own products as well as our clients' products, we've gone back to China, and when we're negotiating, we've come up with a different plan. And that is, if we have our product that's coming over, let's say we had 1,000 units. We'd had, and this is before the old IPI, but hopefully the client is over 500 and, you know, they're good. Uh-huh. But we'd have 500 at the warehouse, we'd have 500 in Amazon. Uh-huh. And, you know, so in case, you know, we once they move, we just move it from the warehouse over. Here's the difference. We've been able to negotiate with most of the Chinese suppliers to take another 1,000 units, put it in the Chinese warehouse, not pay or pay like 30%. And that's sort of an insurance that we're not going to run out of inventory. So we could, once we start to move the stock over, we can either bring in a combo shipment, which a lot of people don't know about, and you can do this on your software, but you can bring it over either by air, a high-speed vessel, or just by regular ocean, and get it in place. While that's happening, the manufacturer's putting another order in. So once the cycle starts the first time, you'll never run out of inventory unless there's some major, you know. And what we found right now is, if you go back to the Chinese manufacturers and you say, look, we're putting our money into marketing, and it's tough over there right now, and I don't want to take advantage, but all I'm saying to them is, look, we'll put in a higher order, we'll have some over there, so instead of 1,000 we have 2,000 units. Give us a break on these ones. A lot of the suppliers will let you store for free additional product. At worst, they'll make you pay 30%. It's a beautiful thing.
And we're you know, we're doing that as well, you know, and I do advise, especially for these guys who have a low IPI score, because of the recent change in that, you know, it's now went from 400 to 500. Having, you know, we're seeing more and more that Amazon wants us to get out of their warehouses. You know, they're, everything they're doing with the raising of the prices and the increasing of the IPI and all of these delays are, I think, signals to really get a third party, you know, system in place, because, you know, you can't be beholden to Amazon. So if you have, you know, a lower score, you most definitely should be planning for that. The software, also one of the things we recently added as well, is maximums. We have a maximum setting now. So if you know what your, you know, the amount of inventory you're allowed to send per SKU, you can, you know, punch in that number, and you will never be told by our system to send more than what you're allowed to send into Amazon. So those are some things. It's just, do you have a warehouse? And as we were talking about earlier, looking for warehouses maybe in the middle of the country, at least for right now. I mean, before you, you know, go and invest a ton into that, you might want to kind of test out or prove out the theory with one shipment. But, you know, having a backup warehouse, I think personally, needs to be everyone's plan moving forward. Right. I think it's going to be the cheaper way to go. The next avenue that we're going to be tackling once we finalize some of the things we have on our plate in terms of inventory is to move into cash flow, because that's an extenuation of that. You know, it's marketing feeds into inventory, feeds into cash flow, and then that closes the loop back into marketing. And so cash flow then becomes an issue. And that's one of the things that we want to address is now, once we have figured out and told you what you need to do with your inventory, now we should be able to, you know, we call it modeling, because it's not, you know, we're not, you're able to actually, you know, flexibly look at what marketing is going to do to inventory. And that's where we say, you know, it's forecast modeling, not, you know, not, you know, straight forecasting. We want to do that with cash flow, and cash flow modeling would be, let's look at all the different logistics and all of the different fees attached to these logistical processes, storage and shipping and air freight and the different types of shipping, the different types of storage, and even fulfillment, the fulfillment costs versus, you know, the Amazon fulfillment costs, and figuring out what are the best logistically, what are the best plans for you, for your cash flow, as well as your profit. Because that's something that is not out there and it's not available, is a tool that will actually be able to determine what the best logistics are for your business. And so I see that as the next place that Amazon sellers need to go, is get really solid with the best plan for inventory connected to a marketing plan, and then, you know, the best logistics plan. Because there's a lot of variables. And so people don't actually take the time to do that because it's so complex.
Chelsea, I told you when we started the call that it'd be about 30 minutes. We've got a few questions that have come in.
Sure.
Do you have time to stay on for a while?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, Kels, what's the first question that's up?
All right. It says, what kind of process do you go through to know how much inventory to order for an initial product, especially during this crazy Q4? Obviously, more than 1,000 units on most products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say you need to look at the market and see what, you know, what's possible in the market, and, you know, consider what your reviews are. You know, like if someone's got, you know, if the majority of the sellers who are making decent sales have 300 reviews and you're just starting out, you're going to have a lot better chance of getting, you know, into that mix than if they have, you know, thousands of reviews, which probably is not something that you're going to be approaching anyway. If you have your, you know, your sourcing and your product selection criteria. But, you know, you look at what are most people doing, and then, you know, how quickly could you ramp up, and what percentage, you know, do you think you could take? Could you take, you know, could you do half what they're doing? People are a lot less discriminatory during the holiday season in terms of, you know, you see a lot more orders coming in. The conversion rates go up a lot because you've got a bunch of people who are ordering gifts for people, you know, and they can tend to, you know, they're just going down a list. They can tend to be less selective than when they're buying things for themselves. So, you know, you look at what the market is doing. And also, if you can get some historical data, if you're going into the Christmas season, of what is possible, there are certain apps that give you historical, bestseller ratings. And I think Helium 10, gives you some seasonal data as well. And then, whether you have, you know, say Prime Day or Black Friday coming up, you have to decide what you intend to push on for that, and in fact, Black Friday and Cyber Monday in as well.
I just saw Kelsey flashed up something that Victor mentioned about his terms, 20-20-60. That's beautiful.
Mm, yeah.
You know, if you can do that and talk about your cash flow increasing, yeah,
yes.
Nice work, Victor. Oh,
yeah.
By the way,
terms are so important.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give another shout out to a few new people here. Hey, Leonard, thanks for getting on. Jordan, hey, we try to deliver. And also, Peter, hey, thank you for listening in. So, Kels, did Victor have another question? I saw something from him come in a little bit earlier on. Okay, what's that about?
Okay, it says there's a new field when creating a shipping plan in SC, I'm guessing South Carolina. Ship date is the date you expect to hand your inventory to the carrier. This date helps us prepare to receive your inventory. This date can be changed after you have confirmed shipping. This must be answered before you can print carton labels. I wonder what effect different earlier or later dates will have.
That's good. That'll be interesting to see, you know, on our end when if and when people start sending that our way, if we're going to get that data on our end, you know, through the API, because, you know, one of the things that our software we do is because Amazon tells you it's going to be coming right away. They have no idea. Usually this would change that. But, you know, so I think, you know, for anyone who's just strictly using the Amazon system, you know, for their tracking, it might help a little bit more to, you know, with the orders. Amazon's trying to alert you to orders. One of the things to keep in mind, though, when Amazon does alert you, and something that I noticed, is that if you stock out during that time, that's not going to be factored in. So that's one thing to be careful of if you are using any of the Amazon inventory management tools, is that they... If you stock out, your calculation is going to be much lower. They're going to tell you to send much less than you should or reorder much less than you should. If they don't know your lead time, they're not going to tell you to order on time. So if you know, if you have a 60 or 90 day lead time and they're warning you to order, you know, they might be warning you to order, you know, in way lower time. So just kind of being careful. I'd be interested to see how helpful that those tools, you know, can be if they're now starting to get some timelines into it.
Right. I'm seeing a couple people in the chat talk about negotiating terms, better terms. And I think it was Leonard that was asking how. Ask. You just have to ask. If you are dictated off the terms that you settle on Alibaba, or if you have a sourcing agent, get them to negotiate. When you contact them, just say that you're having a struggle, the COVID thing's happening over here, you're putting your marketing dollars into helping them move their product, you're their supplier, and if they could help you just with, you know, hey, if you can move it up to, like everybody's saying here, or a few people, 20% instead of 30%, that loosens up the cash flow, 20-20-60, like Victor said. It's great. It helps with cash flow.
Some will even do a partial credit card split. Like, you know, we're able to use, you know, a partial credit card split where some places you have to wire cash, other places they'll let you pay, you know, part cash and part with credit card. Now they'll usually charge you the fees, but if it frees up your cash flow, it'll actually give you an extra month to pay down that credit card.
Yeah, that's if they'll take the credit card.
If they will. But like I said, they usually, you know, we don't normally go for that deal because we would have to pay the merchant fee, which, you know, when you get higher, you know, bigger and bigger orders, that becomes very expensive.
Right. Okay. We're talking about IPI, and I just wanted to give out, you know, there's four ways to really increase your IPI. Mm-hmm. If you're under that 500 level, one of the best things to do is get rid of any excess inventory. And Chelsea, let me know if you have any other options here, but you've got stranded inventory. So you can just go in, check it out. If you've got stranded inventory, great. Now, Amazon is allowing you free removal, started on July, I think 13th, 14th, but they're smart. You don't get the freebies on the stranded inventory, so you have to pay to remove them. And then you've got the FBA sell-through, which is just improve your listing traffic. So, you know, try to get it moving. Try to get it on like a little bit of PPC or drive some traffic over to the listing and try to get some sales going. And the other thing that you can do is, and this is so important, keep your popular products in stock.
Yeah.
If you let them go out too many times, it's a struggle getting the ranking back each time. But those are the four things that Amazon says will help improve your IPI. And it could be almost immediately just by doing one of the things.
Yeah.
Any other things that you can think of?
I mean, that covers it. It would just be a matter of, you know, how to do it. And, you know, we'd bring up, you know, having a third party warehouse yet again. Being able to determine what your velocity is, you know, and because I know that people starting out, you know, generally tend to send in direct to Amazon and not have a third party warehouse. And I think that's why this is all happening, is Amazon's really starting to say, you guys, you know, you really need to develop out a plan. And that the IPI increase is actually forcing the issue of people, you know, having this third party warehousing solution where they only send in as much inventory as they can turn over within, say, maybe 90 days or whatever. So it's just adopting that plan of deciding that you're only going to, what is your maximum? You know, I only keep 90 days worth of inventory in, you know, Amazon or whatever it is. But, you know, if you've got, you sent 1,000 units in, the product didn't end up moving, you've got other successful products, start looking at those products that were dud products where you sent a bunch in and then it didn't turn out, and really consider, is it worth, you know, is it worth harming my IPI score across the boards for these dud products? And maybe right. Start looking at actually pulling those out. It might, you know, if it's free right now, you know, that could be a good way to go about it, is to peel off a good amount of that inventory, calculate what you can sell within the next, say, 30, 60, 90 days. Especially if they're not going to let you return it, you know, peel off the amount, you know, that you would be allowed to sell until you can return it potentially. And just simply, you know, take those out and remove those dud products, so that your stars don't suffer.
Look at this comment, Victor, you're incredible. He's got an answer for everything. So, what he's saying is you can pay Chinese suppliers indirectly with a credit card using Plask. I think that's how you say it, .com. They get a wire. So check that out. I got to check that out. I didn't know that. And another question from Andrea, would you negotiate on with a new supplier? That might be a little tougher. So, Charles, I don't know if you heard that.
No, I did.
Okay.
Would you negotiate with a new supplier?
Yeah, that might be a little tougher. But people are, like, in China right now, they might give you better terms than you were getting before. So anyways, that's my two cents. I think it might be a little bit tougher, but you probably could get away with it. Who knows? Again, the best way to negotiate is to ask. And if you're stuck with it, I think Chelsea came back with a great idea. Use a credit card. So, okay. Now, if we don't get to all of your questions, we'll be able to answer them after the call ends. And
I wanted to just say that Off the Lobby has some webinars talking about negotiating with suppliers. So maybe I could share them in a link or follow up.
Yes. So in case you don't know, Off the Lobby is my partner in Honu Worldwide, which is a sourcing logistics company. All right. I think this is the last question for me. There might be a couple more that trickle in, but sellers at the beginning don't know, or sometimes they set up an Amazon account and they think they're just going to be bringing in a little bit of extra money. And then all of a sudden they find out this is a real business and they can sell it. Mm-hmm. So just a thought, how, by using proper inventory management, how does that help with your evaluation when you go and sell the business?
Yeah, so that's a really important topic. I've talked to, actually, we have a guy who came on to using SoStocked, and he had bought, I think, 10 businesses the previous year. And I mean, we talk a lot with Off the Lobby about the cost of goods being a big factor in the valuation of a company. There's like a couple of things that he uses, and this guy who I was talking to, and he says he looks at cost of goods, but he also looks at inventory, and inventory mismanagement saves him a lot of money. He had a guy who was keeping way too much inventory in storage. So I think he paid, that guy paid an extra $5,000 in storage fees. And the result was, you know, if you've got a 3x multiple, that was 15 grand that those guys saved on this guy having poor inventory management. He also looks at how much, you know, someone stocks out. If you stock out 1 year and you lose $40,000 worth of sales and you go and you sell your business the next year, that's, you know, at a 3x multiple, $120,000 that is taken off the top in terms of the sale price. You're so, you know, between stocking out and storage fees and overstocking, you know, you could lose, you know, $100,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the valuation of your business. So it's short-term and long-term, it's extremely important to figure out inventory management for the costs of, you know, the costs that you will be saving. You know, air freight is another one. If you, you know, can, they can look at how much air freight you have done versus sea freight. That's another waste. And so it's just, it's death by paper cuts, you know, for a business. And then when you go to sell, those are the things that, that are dug into, is how much money can we save here? You know, when we go to buy your business, how sloppy were you with your inventory and how, you know, and your cost of goods. And that's, you know, those are some things that when a person comes to look at your business, that's, those are the advantages that, that they have. And so the idea is that you, get those things in order before you go to sell, you know, get those things in order more than a year before you go to sell. Cause if they're looking at a year's worth of financials, you don't want any of that in your financials. You don't want stock outs. You don't want overstocking. You don't want any of that.
All right. So I think we're going to wind down and we'll have one more question. And that is right here. This is from Jim. Is it suggested that we delete inactive FBA listings or just close them out?
I'm not actually, I don't think that deleting is necessary. I don't know that it affects your IPI. I haven't tried it. I haven't looked into it. But from the chatter in our inventory management group, just closing them should work. If it doesn't, then you can try deleting it. But I think that it should work.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's any reason to delete. Just make it inactive. You get the inventory back, and you know if it is a dud, I don't know. I don't think you have to delete it. But okay, Chelsea.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You did great. We're 52 minutes right now, so that's fantastic. I'm so glad that you were able to stick it out with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. You know, if anyone has any questions, they can, you know, reach out. But yeah, my hope is that the conversation in scaling starts to include inventory and cash flow in a very serious way. That's where I see things headed. And that's where I see, you know, the scaling truly happening is when we have, you know, kind of a seamless pipeline in the direction of inventory and cash flow being part of that conversation.
So I'd like to say that if anybody's interested in an inventory management system that's affordable, you got to check out So Stocked. Now, I don't go and I don't sell products on this podcast, but I can recommend that you go and check it out. It's very affordable. Also, how do we contact you, Chelsea?
Yeah, so you can reach me. My email is chelsea@sostocked.com. And so I'm available there. And then on Facebook, can shoot me. If you do send me a friend request, shoot me a message. I usually accept friend requests from people I have a lot of people in common with. But if we don't have a lot of people in common, just shoot me a message.
Very good. Okay, so I think that's it. I am going to close it out for the day. So, hey, everybody, I really appreciate you sticking around. And it looks like we've had a lot of activity. I'm so glad to see more and more activity as the podcasts are evolving. We're trying to do things different. We're trying to learn. I'm trying to learn. And one of the things that we want to ask is if you have interesting people in the Amazon world, in e-commerce world, in social media, web design, shoot them over. One thing I don't want to do is have the average you know, the person that's on a million podcasts talking to the same group of people over and over and over again about the same things. So trying to, you know, bring in a Pinterest person, an eBay person. So if you have these connections, please email them to me so we can reach out to them and get them onto this podcast. So anyways, Kels, come on in and tell everybody what they need to do.
All right. So follow us on social media, and it goes a very long way if you like and share the stream. Just gets more eyes on this stream so other people can learn from it. And so Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, just everywhere. Just search Norm Farrar and you'll be able to find us.
And thank you, son. All right. So tune in next week for another Lunch with Norm next Thursday. And once again, thank you for sharing your time with us today and have a great day. Lunch with Norm.